City, connected with the world. Here's Tom Sullivan.
So here we are, and glad to have you along. Welcome to the program. Happy Tuesday to you on this 26th day of June, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan. We are, well, I saw this story today, and I almost went by it. But I started thinking about it, and it's a story about people who have gig workers, and what they do. And what jumped out at me was, okay, so, you know, you got people that are doing side jobs. You got, you know, the typical, the iconic gig job in 2018 is you drive for Uber or Lyft. You hear the commercials, be your own boss. Sign up now. We'll help you get your driver's license for a commercial driver's license. We'll do all this. Well, people are out there going to work during the day or in the evening or whatever you have your normal occupation. And then you jump in your car and you sign in to one of these car services and you become a car driver. Or there's a lot of other side jobs out there. Home repairs, landscaping, online sales, childcare, all kinds of different side jobs. And so I was reading this because what jumped out at me is that in this country, and this is ties in with, I usually bark about this stuff during a Friday show, during a first Friday of the month, especially with the jobs report, and about the, I keep looking at the jobs, and this is why I know everybody says, oh, the economy's booming. The average hourly wages are going up 2.5 or 2.6% annually. That's it. So if that's, there's a lot of things out that are going up that are costing you more than 2.5% more this year than last year. So your income, which if you go back for the previous 10 years plus, middle class has not been able to keep up. The actual after tax, after inflation, middle class, you know what, middle class people in this country have seen their purchasing power goes down, which means they don't have as much money as they used to. You may have more nominal dollars, but things are costing you more, and at the end of the month, you're going, it's not matching up. So 37%, this is the number that jumped out at me, 37% of people in this country have a gig job on the side. 37%. Remember during the Great Recession, I was reporting every month about the number of part-time jobs. People had lost full-time jobs, so they would go out and get two or three part-time jobs in order to try to make ends meet. But when I saw that in 2018, Bankrate.com did the survey, 37% of people have a side job, which does not sadly surprise me because I'm looking at the numbers, I'm looking at the average pay hike, and I'm going, inflation is going up faster than people's wages are going up, and wages have been barely going up, and that's why that's how I define a booming economy. When you start getting much better pay increases, and it's always measured against inflation, are you truly making more money? Are you bringing home more money and keeping more money in your pocket? Are you able to build your savings account, or are you draining your savings account? And I am presuming that a lot of you are draining your savings. Which brings up the question about, well, how long can you do that? How many more months do you have in savings that you can continue to tap? Let alone save for things a house, a car, retirement. I mean, there's a million things to save for. But when you have 37% of people having a gig job on the side, well, that I'm sorry, but that people don't have gig jobs because they just love jobs. They're doing it because they need to, I presume. I'm asking you. 59% of those that said they have a gig job on the side, they have a full-time job, but they have a gig job on the side to have more disposable income. 59% say they are earning money on the side. 38% say they're doing so just so they can meet their regular living expenses. They're doing it to survive. All right. Then let's go to the 18 to 25 years old. They are the people that had come out of college, come out of high school, Great Recession, trying to find a job. Good luck on that. Half of that crowd, 50%, say their expenses are equal to or greater than their income. Most Americans haven't received a raise in a while. I don't know if you remember when you last got a raise. So I'm looking at this and going, do you have a gig job? If 37% of the country has a gig job, there's got to be a bunch of you that do. And if so, what do you do? And why do you do it? Are you trying to make ends meet, or are you trying to get some extra income for what? To boost your savings, buy a new car, save for retirement, save for a house? What is it that you're doing? Why are you doing the gig job? And what is the gig job? Most popular are home repairs, landscaping, online sales, crafts, and childcare. So you're young, you got a lot of energy, and it's a fast way to make some extra money. 60% of millennials don't feel fairly compensated. 20% foresee needing some sort of side hustle in order to make ends meet. Woman named Kate Johnson, she's 27. She works full-time as a travel agent. She moved from New Hampshire to Los Angeles 3 years ago. It costs more to live in L.A. She realized with her rent and her bills and her student loans, the money coming in wasn't covering the money going out. So she looked for side job, and she has a job on the weekends working as a waitress. She says, it's now enough to keep my head above water, but I don't make enough to start building up my savings. She gets an extra $1,000 or more per month from her weekend waitressing job. Guy, 26. Sarah Archibald, 26. Travel industry again. Works 40 hours a week as an account rep for a luxury travel company here in New York. She puts in another 10 hours per week as a stylist for an online retailer of clothing, accessories, and jewelry. I hosted a trunk show, she said, around the holidays, made about $500. Hold on to that money for future, like flights or travel, or use it for whatever I'm doing that week, like going out to eat. There's another one. Carrie, a regional sales executive for an insurance carrier. She started selling beauty counter products 3 years ago because she really is into beauty products. So her normal job as a regional sales exec for an insurance carrier, she works 40 to 50 hours a week, and then an extra 8 to 10 hours at night and on weekends devoted to selling beauty products. Okay, so she's working 50 to 60 hours a week. Okay. I don't think that's a lot. I think there's a lot of people that do that. If you own your own business, you definitely are putting in 50, 60 hours a week. Here's Dan Falaev, 27-year-old guy in Los Angeles real estate. He has a side job as a director at a social fitness club, electric flight crew. Lets him work out and make money. So, are you working a side job? How many hours do you find yourself working a week? Or how many hours do you put into this side job? How many of you are driving for Uber or Lyft? How many of you are working in restaurants? Waiter, chef, whatever it might be. How many of you are doing home repairs? I mean, what are you doing for your gig job? But we talk about the gig economy. It hasn't gone away. And it sounds like, especially this study by Bankrate, where you got 37% of people in this country with a side job, I find that staggering. Which says to me, I hate to be the guy keep throwing a wet blanket on all this, but I know the president and others come out, oh, the economy's booming, it's going gangbusters. No, it's not. Not when you have more than a third of your population working on an extra job. So you can use a fake name, a fake city, whatever you want to do, but what are you doing for a side job? How many of you are doing a side job, and what are you doing? I'll even pry and ask if you feel like it. You don't want to tell me how much you're making on it. How many hours are you putting in on this side job? I'm curious what's going on out there. Phone number to join the program is 855-295-6600. 855-295-6600. You can find the number on my website, TomSullivan.com. We'll be right back.
Connect and engage with Tom Sullivan. On air, online, on demand.
All right, gig is the new term. Is really all of what it's been called, freelance, for a long time, or part-time job for a long, long time. A lot of people do the restaurant thing because the restaurant industry is full of lots of people coming and going. There's lots of turnover in a lot of restaurants out there. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Jessica, thanks for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show. Hi, Jessica.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello?
Go ahead. Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh. Hi. Yeah, I was saying, like, I agree with you on everything you say. I mean, this is the first time I heard your show, and I like it. So.
Oh, welcome.
But it really interests me because, like, yeah, like, everybody, I know a lot of people, I live in California, in Sacramento.
Okay.
So a lot of people here, the percentage you say, from the people that I see who have side jobs, like, it sounds small, but then how big the world is, like, okay. But, I mean, me, my, like, side job, I don't even have my own house. Like, I live with family, but I pay rent. And just my job, I get paid more than minimum wage, which is cool, 15 an hour, 6 hours a day, 5 days a week. But once, you know, the more you make, the more taxes they take. So once you get your check at the end, it's like, what? All these hours that I've been putting in, 6 hours a day, 5 days a week. All this time for what?
Yeah.
And I don't like it. My job, I'm a sales rep. So what I do is drive around to companies and try to just see if they want to bring in their vehicles so we can fix them. And I just get turned down every time. Like, no one wants that. So I feel like, in the end, I'm like, this was a waste of time. But then I think about it, I'm like, I got paid basically for doing nothing. It's just boring. I hate it. But my side, like, thing, because my job only pays my bills. And, like, I have a son, so his necessities, my job doesn't even pay for that.
Okay. All right. So what do you do for a side job? What have you found?
Well, I kind of go to like a little bit of everything. So we have dogs, and we have boys and girls. So I started breeding them and selling the puppies.
Yeah.
For like $300 a dog, because they're huskies, so they're nice.
Okay.
And you know, they cost way more than that.
You're right. Right.
I do that.
So you're breeding you're breeding some dogs, and that's bringing in extra money. Is that?
Yeah.
Are you doing it to have because you like dogs and dog breeding, or do you do it because you need the money?
No, I do it because I need the money. I don't want that many dogs. Like the two dogs I have, I'm okay with. I don't need that many puppies. And
yeah.
It sucks to take care of them. That's why I need to sell them. But I do it because I need money. Like, I mean, and my dog, they're my dogs, so they're free. I don't need to spend money to make money. It's my own stuff, you know? So.
Well,
I mean, I have to buy some food no matter what anyways. That's normal.
Right,
so
right,
I'm just
right.
Money off. And I have to. And then not even with that, but sometimes that doesn't even make it work because sometimes they don't sell. Like, people don't have money to buy dogs all the time, you know?
Well, so, yeah, you never know if you're going to have customers. So, all right. So that's your gig job is breeding your dogs right. And selling those. But all right, Jessica, thank you. I'm glad you called. Wow. Gary in Virginia. Gary, hi. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show. Hi, Gary. Hello, Gary. Sounds pretty quiet on Gary's end. Brad in Ohio. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
Doing great.
You know what? Two-thirds of the problem is why you need a gig job is interest and depreciation. We're all buying because of our wants instead of our needs, and
yeah.
It's creating such a debt load, and with the depreciation schedule on a lot of these things that you don't really need but you want is really high, along with the interest rate. I lost everything here about 5 years ago, started over from scratch. I'm working 7 days a week, paying cash for everything, built about a $4 million a year business here now, and we're cash flowing it all without the bank, but it's because I dealt with my needs instead of my wants. So everything was going to positive cash flow.
Nice. So you've been working hard, and it's paying off, is what you're saying, in 5 years.
Well, exactly. Everything I do is actually going to the bottom line instead of I bought a 2012 pickup that had low mileage on it. I paid cash for it instead of buying a $70,000 pickup that's depreciating, you know, 15-20% a year,
right.
Along with an interest rate. It makes a difference at the end of the day, and it makes you proud of what you did, and it drives you that much harder to get to where you want to go. People are saddled, and I think that's a lot of people, they get mired down in debt and the depreciation, and it just brings their whole psyche down, and it traps them. And,
sure.
And you lose
sure.
that entrepreneurial
yeah.
spirit that drives
yeah,
you on.
It also psychs you the other way, psychs you up when you see that balance in your bank growing. But I got to hit the break. But Brad, thank you.
He likes it when you talk back. Tom Sullivan.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter, too. The address at Sullivan Radio. Capricorn's very, very practical. Says, if people learn to live within their budget like generations before, could make a good life for themselves. But when the whole family has to have tech devices, hang out at the mall, $5 Starbucks coffee every day, new car, not home cooking, what do they expect? Yeah. That's sounds like a practical advice. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Talk to Mark, who's waiting. Mark, hi. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hi, Tom. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Welcome. What you got?
Hi. The state I live in, I make about $14 an hour as a residential fire sprinkler installer, but since I'm an apprentice, can take me about 6 to 8 months before I can make $20 or something more, you know, sufficient.
Yeah, but that's
and,
not too long. That's pretty quick. I mean, and I know you're impatient, but that doesn't sound like long.
Oh, no, it's not. It's just I have a son and I have a girlfriend of 12 years, so it's not easy, you know, to be out there not making, you know, at least $18 to $20.
Wait a minute.
Go ahead.
Wait a minute. You got a girlfriend of 12 years?
I know, Tom. Why haven't I married her? Why haven't I married her?
No. I'm not going to do the, hey, why haven't you married her? I'm curious, have you not married her because of the economy?
Yes. And just where I live at is too expensive, and I'm not like every other millennial. I'm 27. I actually think financially responsible. I'm like, hey, why am I going to try to get married, put all that money into marriage and all that stuff, and also have to pay higher taxes now? And it's not just simple as, hey, let's just go get married. It's not that simple.
Yeah. No, I was curious. I've heard that before. You're not alone. There's a lot of people, the millennials especially, that are not getting married because of economic reasons. So, doesn't surprise me. Well,
we do marry.
Yeah, I know, of course, but I'm not going to bug you. I'm not going to bug you about that. This isn't the love line, you know.
No. So basically, I brush my butt from 6 in the morning in the summertime to about 2:32 in the afternoon. And then it's 105 degrees, 4 degrees, and I go mow about 3 to 5 lawns after work and anywhere from 15 to 20 lawns on the weekends. And
wow.
I make per lawn, yes. So I make per lawn about $20 to $35. So I make a lot more in my actual side gig job than I do on my actual 9 to 5 or, you know.
Okay, let's go back. Let's go back again. So how much do you charge to mow a lawn a month?
So funny thing is, I go through the app. There's an app that I use.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'm getting them sent to me, and I just click, do I want it? Yes or no? And it says, yes, this is the property. This is the price they're willing to pay. This is what you need to do. Will you do it? And I say, yes. I want the money. So
can you turn some of those people into regular customers of yours and not have to go through the app where you go by once a week?
One of the apps lets you bid on your customers. So basically they just are like a marketing team for you, because they get a 10% cut of whatever you charge them, and they do all the processing, all the invoicing.
Right.
So that the only one app allows me to do that. But all the other two apps, they actually give the customer the option of having me as a weekly client. So per lawn, I'm doing, and most of them are through property management, frankly, because it's such a large area I live in. It's property management lawns. So they'll just add 10 lawns, for $35 a lawn weekly. So I'm like, yeah, I'll pick up $350 worth of, lawns. That's fine with me, for one day. That's 2 to 3 days of my normal job. So sure, heck yes. I'm actually making more.
Yeah.
Than my gig job.
So, but you're working 6 something in the morning till 2:30 in the afternoon, and then you're doing a couple of lawns after that. So your day goes from 6:30 in the morning to what time do you get home?
7 at night. It's about 7:30 because I have to do a 30-minute commute.
Okay. After. So you got a 12-hour work day plus some commute in there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I worked 12-hour days for the longest time. So I'm thinking, what's wrong with that? You're young. You're healthy.
No.
Yeah.
Nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong. That's the point. I'm 27. I'm not dying from the heat. It's 104 outside, but I'm still out there mowing lawns.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's what I need to do as an individual to make sure my family and us don't have to use government assistance. We don't have to go into debt. We don't have to take loans out. We don't miss our rent payment. It's just, to keep my quality of life and to make sure, my credit status stays, in a good shape.
Yep. Good for you. I like you. You're a hard worker, and you're getting a skill. Yeah, it takes a while to get get through the apprentice program, but you're getting a skill that will pay you well for many, many years to come, and you'll be able to. I mean, they're not going to do away with fire sprinklers, that's for sure. I mean, it's
and it's new, about 15 years new here where I'm at. So new field, but there's a lot of potential and growth, and I know what I do on the side, my gigs. That's not something I want to do forever. It's just a part time. You know, it's not a career stepping stone. It's more of a just a get by stepping.
You know, well, you might also turn that into another business too. I mean, there's you can make some pretty good money. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that charge a lot more than what you're charging to do landscape work.
Honestly, I'm getting lowballed. But where I live at, you have to compete, not to be disrespectful to legal immigrants.
Right.
Know how it is.
Yeah.
But I have to compete with $20 lawns, with people who will do it for $10 a week, whatever.
Yeah.
It's a hard sell when you tell them, $30 every other week or $40 a week, and then they say, I have a guy doing it for 10.
You know what I would say? Fine. Go get the $10 guy and see what kind of botched job you get. I'll do it right.
I was seriously thinking about putting a sign on my truck that says, I fix $20 cuts. I was going to put that on
Perfect.
My truck. I fix $20 cuts.
Yeah. Smart.
But I just listen to your show.
Be good, man. Don't bend on the price. Keep that price up there. And, somebody that tries to do it you will win the long term game against somebody like that. So, all right. Hey, Mark, thank you very much. Hard working guy. We have time to be, we have about 90 seconds here. Bob in California. Bob, welcome. Hi, you're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Love your show. Just
thank you.
Let you know that when you're,
thank you.
You're looking at the 30% number of people that have a second job. I don't think 30% plus of those people need that job to make ends meet.
What do you think they're doing? They just like it?
They do it, A, because they like to do it, or it's a little extra enhancement for their family. One of the things I do is a little extra money at Christmas kind of thing. Do I need it? Not necessarily.
Just nice to have. So it's
nice
not,
to have.
Yeah. So there's a difference, isn't there, between need and, hey, here's an opportunity to make some money, and I got the time and the effort, the money, or time and energy. Why not go do it? I get you. I think you're probably right. There's probably some percentage. I just was struck by the 37% that say that they're out there working a gig economy. Bob, I got to hit my break, but thank you. We will be right back.
Unpredictable. Unprecedented. Undeniable. Tom Sullivan.
So we got, I just look at this and I go, so the economy is exploding, huh? So, I mean, the last caller was right. Out of the 37%, there's some people that just do things because they like to have the extra bread in their pocket. Where was that on my Twitter feed? That was somebody sent me a note and said something to that effect, essentially. Oh, yeah, wealth is simple. I think a lot of people are reselling items they find at garage sales, thrift stores, flea markets on the side to earn extra money. Many people work side jobs, gigs, because they want to, not because they have to. Many like the flexibility of earning extra dollars. Yeah, I guess it seems like, I mean, I don't know. It seems I've always worked hard, worked long hours. I just haven't worked side hours, but I guess it all adds up to the same thing. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Steve in Santa Rosa, California. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
Doing great.
Hey, this is something I've been mentioning to a lot of people I know. This is what the real divide in this country is. It's the responsible people that take side jobs so they don't have to beg and cheat and lie from the government. And then there's the irresponsible people. And I live here in California. People work extra jobs, not because they want to. They have to, especially if you're young. You ain't going to go out and buy no house like your parents and I did in this day and age, especially in California. They got to work two jobs just to make ends meet. And 60, 70 hours a week is the norm for the responsible people. It's everybody's doing it. They're commuting. They're doing two, three jobs, you know, and it's that's the way it is. And
I
those
got
are the
a,
responsible people.
Yeah,
and
I got
and
a...
You, and that's why Trump is so popular with working people, because they know, you know, how much more are you going to tax me? How much more are you going to take out of my check?
I think they're
like this forever.
Yeah, I saw something. I got a tweet from Mike Thompson that ties in with what you're talking about. He said, you're talking about side jobs. Story crossed about households making $117,000 actually qualify for low-income housing projects in three San Francisco Bay Area counties. Side jobs in some areas are a must to stay housed for many. $117,000 and you qualify for low income housing. Wow.
Yeah, wow. That's the reality of living here in California. In California, here in Northern California, there's no middle class. That's a myth. If you're middle class, like I grew up, I'm 60, I'd have to make about $300,000 a year to live the life that my parents lived. That's, you know, and how many people are making that? That's not middle class.
No, not at all.
You know,
not at all.
You got a good construction job, you're making $35 an hour, and you got to work 60 hours a week. And I know guys that do it. Almost everyone I know does it.
Well, you're kind of getting ahead of me, because there was something I was trying to get in today, but I'm not going to be able to. I thought I'd push it off till tomorrow, but it ties in with New York and California. New York is going to spend $400 million on a new housing rehab project for low-income people in New York. California voters are going to be asked on the ballot in November to approve a $2 billion bond measure to house the homeless on top of the $4 billion that's already been approved. And so we could debate homeless and housing and low-income and all that. But I'm wondering what you said. How did Trump get elected? There's the poor. There's a million projects and programs for the poor. The rich are taking care of themselves. What about the middle class? And they're going to ask you in November to vote on billions of dollars more for homeless people, when I'm hearing middle class is struggling. And I wonder how much if these things are going to succeed or not.
Hey, check this out. The budget for the homeless in San Francisco, for the homeless departments they got, is higher than the police and the fire department combined. Yet the streets are loaded with homeless people. So people are wise. They know the government is not working for us. It's working for the donor. It's working for the scam artist.
Well,
I gotta go. I'm at work. Bye.
I got it. Steve, thank you very much. Yeah, you're at work. You're working. Go work. It does make me – thank you, Steve. I appreciate your call. It makes you wonder if these kinds of measures, if you get to vote on them, they have to vote on them, because they were supposed to use the money for the mentally ill. Instead, they want to use it for homeless projects. But I don't know how much – red tape is involved, and how city agencies are taking up floors and floors of buildings that are managing the homeless problem, and all they do is basically just grow government and grow government employment and government expenses, and the homeless guys are still out there on the streets. I don't know if they're spending their money right. Let me put it that way. How could the homeless program be so wealthy, and yet they have such a huge problem, and the problem is growing? I'm at a loss. But they're going to ask in California for the voters there to vote billions of dollars more on top of the billions of dollars they already spend on the homeless. And it's not a matter of being a compassionate person. It's a matter of saying, hey, I think one of the reasons Hillary lost was the Democrats forgot about the middle class. And the middle class has seen their income go down for 10 years, more than 10 years. So somewhere in there, it's going to be a pushback. But in any case. All right, what do we have? What do we got for the band today? We've got the full comment line band, barely. The Dow up 30, the 24,283. S&P up 5, NASDAQ up 29. Look at oil, up to $70 a barrel for oil, and gold down to $1,260. On the comment line, this caller isn't too happy with today's big court decisions.
The Supreme Court vote today is obvious that they do not interpret the law of the land. They interpret their personal beliefs.
Well, I don't think so. The personal beliefs were the federal courts in Hawaii and Washington State that had their personal beliefs. But if you read the law, you don't have to be a lawyer to understand, it's pretty simple, that the law, the federal law, which the Congress can change, but it's part of the immigration law, and it spells out that the president has enormous wide berth on picking who gets to come into this country and who doesn't, which is a different argument than the immigration argument on the border with Mexico, because they're in the country. That's a different rule about throwing them out. But as far as banning people coming in, all presidents have wide berth to do that.